Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Oh, my. Well, this was a pretty solid morning already, huh? I was thinking I probably didn't have to preach again today. If you're paying attention, if you're participating, we could probably be ready to just roll on out and shine, huh? That song. Yeah. Whoa. She's singing that song. I got to get this thing fixed today. Friday, it fought me all night. I was like, okay. I was sitting there. She's singing this song, and I'm listening. I'm thinking, I never heard this song. Now, I've heard this song, but I never heard this song. Yeah. Some of you got that. And I'm looking at the words, and I'm going, you know what's amazing? When I got saved in 95, I don't know if there was hardly any church that would have accepted that song in 1995, let alone when I was a child growing up. When I was a child growing up, they'd have burned you on a stake. They'd have tied you up and lit a fire and called you some kind of witch. It's that extreme. This revelation, this understanding wasn't here. Now, there's still some people that fight it, but there are people, honestly, that don't have joy and that aren't shining most of the time. I've observed this thing. I've watched it. It's precarious. There's people that can quote their Bible through and through, and they're mean. And they've left their knowledge puff them up, and they've missed the heart of God by a million miles, and they don't know how to love. God's not impressed if you quote the Bible. He's impressed if you become it. There was two times Jesus marveled in the Bible when a lady outside of the covenants of Israel had faith. Jesus marveled. That's pretty impressive that a lady caused Jesus to marvel. And the other time he marveled is when his own people didn't believe. That's the two times he marveled. You want to be on the lady's side of marvel. She's singing the song, and I'm going, Lord, this is incredible. And I was really impressed with Destiny, because I said, well, to write a song like that, you have to see it. You got to see it. You can't write a song like that if you don't see it. So I was really excited for you. I was. And I thought, Lord, you're doing something. I can't tell you how encouraged I was, because I was like, Lord, you're doing something on the earth. Like in 95, when I got saved, these are the things he was showing me. I've been preaching them like a madman since I've been saved, because these truths saved me. And I've been teaching people addicted. And is there something I need to do with this? I know I'm creating. It's popping and carrying on. I don't know if I need to. It just keeps. I don't know. It fought me on Friday like crazy. But I don't. Are you? I don't know what to do with it. It just moves all around. I'm a terrible handheld guy. But I'm almost feeling I'd be better with it and less distracting everybody. Let me go with it, because this thing's fighting me terrible. I don't want a mic to be in the way. That's for sure. Oh, this is going to be fun. Dear Jesus, help me. I'm sorry, guys. Work with me. You'll be better sound men when we're through, because you don't have the option of being frustrated. You've already heard the gospel. So bless you guys. Okay. So back to this thing. Oh, this is going to work. We'll be good. I feel grace on this. I'm terrible with a handheld, so it has to be Jesus. I was like, wow, we've come a long way, because these are the things I started hearing when I first started traveling, and I'd share these things and back it up with mega scripture. People would be like, I never saw this before. I never heard this, but I still get it to this day. People say, I feel like I got born again. I feel like I wasn't even saved. Now I feel like I'm saved. It's just funny what people say. And I'm used to hearing it now. But what impresses me is that at large, this revelation wouldn't even been considered, let alone be received. And when she's singing this, I'm so touched, because you got to understand, like, I've been saved 24 years, but I've been plowing a lot of ground. I've been in full-time level for 22 of those 24 years. I was preaching in churches when I was 9 months saved, invited as a guest speaker, and I wasn't a year old, my Lord. You say, how's that possible? Jesus, he was in my life. Darius, get up here. He said, he's in us. I'm in him. He's in me. And he's all excited and he's crying. And I'm going, I get what he's doing right now. Because I do that when you're not looking. I try to calm down so I can make sense. But I get this. Christ is in me. Like, he made me clean. We're tricked into going to church singing songs, hoping we're forgiven, still remembering the things we regret, which means they're not resolved. Regret produces death. It's the world's way. Read Corinthians. It's the world's way of handling life. Regret produces death. God's way is godly sorrow. When you understand how your choices affected his plan, his purpose, his kingdom, not your life, not your circumstances, his kingdom, it's godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. It leads to repentance. Repentance is a duh, what was I thinking moment. Repentance is an ooh. It can be, but if it's missing the duh, what was I thinking, the ooh is going to lead to more ooh, and it's going to turn into regret and condemnation and guilt and shame. The song's so powerful, and I don't think we've understood. I'm gonna share the scripture, because she didn't share it, because she was just flowing, and she said, he said, be holy because I am holy. And then she said, and we were made for his image. She's singing the song, and when she started to explain, she said, I was just sitting thinking, honey, I love you. I love this song. You really got to see this if you're singing this. This is exciting to me. And I'm sitting here thinking all that. And she's, everybody stopped singing. She's just strumming. And she says, you know, you might think it's strange singing I'm holy. And I'm thinking, that's exactly what I was just thinking. That people are going to think it's really strange. And a lot of circles will say that's a heretic song. But here's the paradox. Without the revelation, you're never going to walk in the true freeness that he paid for. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. Can I get really straight and real on this thing? He said in the shepherd's field through the angels to the shepherds when Jesus was born. Remember when he said, born to you this day in the city of David, right? Before the angel got there, the angel said, behold, I bring you good tidings of, watch, great joy. Watch. Good tidings of. That means the great joy flows out of seeing the good tidings. The great joy isn't a moment of joy. It's not an impartation. It's not a moment at the altar. It's not holy laughter. The great joy is your heart elated in seeing the truth of the good news. And you know what happened? That good news got diminished, got laid over, got grayed over, got mispreached, half preached, partially preached, and all of a sudden the good news isn't even understood. And when it's scratched on, it's blasphemy. When it's scratched on and the surface starts getting swept, it's heresy. And well, we're just filthy rags. Well, it's all God. Well, wait a minute. He made us for his image. It's Christ in us. We're the body of Christ. As he is, so are we in this world. The things I do, you'll do if you believe. I can give you 15 more scriptures that make us one. And yet when somebody says, I am holy, and they're singing to God, they're not saying in their own works they're holy. She's not saying she earned a holy badge. She's saying, I receive how you see me through the finished work of your son. And I'm going to start where you finished, and I'm going to run well. And that's called a believer. And if you don't believe, how are you going to run well?
So if you're still caught up with yesterday, and you're still caught up with feelings, and you're still insecure, and you still need somebody to say something nice to you to feel good, you're in trouble. Because you're not finding your identity through the truth. You're trying to find your identity through life instead of the one that gives it. And that's why people let you down, and that's why you're guarded, and that's why you got walls up, and that's why you're plastic if you are, because you're trying to find yourself through something you never can find yourself through. People. You never find yourself through people. At best, you'll need them, and at best, they'll fail you, and at best, you'll be let down. Now you can't trust anybody. And well, you never were supposed to in the beginning. You were supposed to just love people. Not need them. Love them. See, she's not wearing a holy badge because she accomplished anything for a 30-day period. God didn't put her on trial for 90 days and say, whoa, you pulled it off. Here's what he said through his son when he's hanging there. He says, Destiny, I've known you from the beginning. I know your purpose. I know your potential. I know the legacy that you can write. And no matter where you've been and no matter what you've done, I haven't changed my mind because my love never fails. You were created to be my daughter, and you'll always be my daughter. I predestined you to be adopted back into me from the foundation of the world. And no matter what you have failed to see, I see clear. And I know who you are in me. You're worth paying for. You're worth buying out. I love you. That's the Lord. Yeah? So she's going, and she got that little just sweet voice. And she's just talking and saying, you know, somebody might think it's strange, but... And tears start filling her eyes, and I'm going, she sees it. Here's how I knew she saw it, because watch what she said. I pay so much attention. You think I'm a talker? I'm an amazing listener. That's why I have a lot to say. I've been listening. Yeah. She goes, and she says, and honestly, he sees me like he sees his son, and honestly, only when you believe that is only when the cycles stop and only when you get free and only when, and she started talking about sin changing in your life and going away and getting free and not repeating offenses, and like repeat offending in a cycle of life. She said, it's really the only way you're going to go free. And that's what we've missed. We've talked in a false humility that tries to keep talking us down based on our human experiences and comparing ourselves among ourselves. And we think to talk ourselves down is humility and it exalts God. Are you kidding me? Try to run that by Jesus when he paid a price to sit you in heavenly places. Now here's the scripture I want to share with you. You can look at it in your Bible. I don't know if they put things up there on the board. Colossians chapter 1 is where I'm going. And it's the main scripture. And there's a whole lot more that you can bear witness of, but it's the main scripture that absolutely qualifies this song as a song from the Lord. And honestly, this is my opinion. I'll qualify that. That song that she was singing, that they kept putting them words across the board, is the song. I feel like he wrote the song. Because if you miss the truth in that song, if you miss the truth in that song, how will you ever live free from yourself, your own works, your own regrets, your own failures? How will you ever get past you and be seated in him? If you don't see yourself the way he sees you, why would you even have confidence to approach him in intimacy if you see yourself apart from how he sees you? How will you ever get close to him when you don't feel worthy of him? And then the closest you can get is corporate worship. The closest you can get is corporate prayer. But I've learned this as a pastor. People feel funny when ain't nobody around and they get alone with God and their words shut down and their mind closes up and they say they feel like they're blocked when they get alone with God. You know why? Because they don't see themselves the way he sees them, and all they see in that moment is themselves. And what they see isn't the same, and it keeps them veiled and from him. I've seen lots of people with good hearts take 20 minutes to try to get by themselves just to get to him. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus got you out of the way so you could get to him. Hebrews says, if you see that you have a high priest representing you on behalf of God and presenting you before God, you have a high priest. He's ascended in. He's at the right hand of Almighty God. When you see you have a high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, you come boldly into the throne room of grace. Not arrogantly, not presumptuously, boldly means confidently, because you understand his heart through his Son. If he didn't love me, he'd have never came. If he didn't have destiny for my life, he'd have never died on that cross. He'd have never paid the high price he paid if he didn't value my purpose, my destiny, and my God-given identity. Now, my whole life, no preacher preached this to me. No preacher growing up in four different churches ever told me that Jesus died to redeem my value. Never said he died because I had purpose and value to him. Every preacher told me he died because I was a sinner. He died because I was a sinner. He died because I was a sinner. And it left me a forgiven sinner. Hopefully a forgiven sinner. But it never changed my life. And Holy Spirit revealed to me he didn't die because I was a sinner. He had to die because I sinned. So he had to get sin off of me. But he died to restore me, to get me back, because I was a lost son. He didn't come to save who was lost. He came to save that which was lost. Something was lost through sin. Your purpose, your created value, the image of God, and Christ in you. And when he died, he paid a price to get that truth back. So he became who we were on the cross, so we could become sons again and daughters again through his blood, and live by the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. And you know what happens to us? We don't take that to heart. That becomes doctrinal. And then issues still rule our lives. And he said, she said, and tit for tat. And well, I feel, well, I'm mad. Well, they should have never. Well, how come there? Well, I would. Come on. And here's a God that's so good, and he's done something so amazing that it's good tidings of great joy. And when someone scratches on the surface of it and starts singing it out, we're criticizing it and seeing why it ain't right. And we're weighing ourselves against the truth and saying, well, it has to be heresy because we're just this and that. And the heart is always wicked and evil, and nobody can. And you're always quoting Old Testament scriptures, by the way. When we're in a new covenant through his blood. Bless you for that song. Keep singing it in humility. Keep singing it because you believe it. And there's people that are going to hear it, and they'll start seeding into their heart that same belief. And that revelation you sing it in will reproduce the same vision in the hearts of others. How's that? That's awesome. So then her hubby comes out here, and he lays out the song. We could have just went home. We could have just done ourselves a favor and said, I believe that. Amen. Good tidings, great joy. Wow, you made me worthy. You washed me. You cleansed me. I ain't looking back because I'm not Lot's wife. I'm looking up because I'm your bride. There ain't nothing back there for me. You made all things new. So if he made all things new, why are we saying, well, brother, that's all fine and dandy, but you don't know what it was like when I was growing up. You don't know the childhood I had to bear through, brother. And why do you do that to yourself when none of that has anything to do with what we're talking about? What does how it was when you were growing up have anything to do with now that Christ has come? See the trick? Our lives are defined by our story when your life is defined by his story. And all of a sudden, the only identity we ever had is through our lives that have been lived. So we cling to our past, whether it's good or bad. And we think it's us. And the true you is found in him. You say, brother, you're being insensitive to people that had a hard road. Who hasn't had a hard road? I could tell you my hard road. What are we going to accomplish? We could go around the room and decide who's been through the most hell in the room. And then what? And then what? Not even be able to minister to them because we can't relate to them, and all we'll have is sympathy for them, and they'll be the same 50 years from now. We're just going to go around the room and share our hell stories, and then what? Pipe up the band and sing It's All About Heaven? You say, well, yeah, but you're being insensitive. I've been touched wrong. I was touched sexually wrong. Wonder if I was, see? You wonder if I was. Why do we make our story greater than what he's done? Why do we let what one man did or one man said decide our life when his name's not Jesus? Why do we give people that kind of power? Well, I wouldn't feel this way if they didn't. Well, who is they? Are they going to be on the throne in that day? Are they everlasting to everlasting? Are they the one that was and is to come? Who is they? Come on. Just getting real with you with a little passion. Sorry, I didn't preach last night. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. You know what was cool about last night? I sat down. We were barely a half hour, and I glanced over, and I saw we didn't have the mic out. Thank God we didn't have that mic out. We didn't have the mic out, and I looked, and I thought, oh, wow. We never grabbed the mic. We were back here talking, and Chris came, and it was awesome to see Chris. And we were all chatting and hugging and loving, and it was a little love festival back there. So we weren't thinking about the mic. We were just loving one another. So I got out here, and I thought, oh, we ain't got the mic. And I thought, I wonder if I should slip back here and get it now or see if somebody wants to get it. So we're not, you know, when time comes, we're just ready. And I felt like the Lord said, no, you don't need it. I said, I don't need the mic. He said, no, you're not going to need the mic like you would normally need the mic. And I said, okay, that's awesome. See, I don't have a need to preach. I'm not here. This isn't like the thing I do. People just invite me to their church. They just invite me. I'm not advertising. I'm not even a ministry. Like it says neck ministries just because the IRS needs to know who I am because people sow into my life because they want to, not because I ask them to. There's nowhere out there you'll ever find that I ask for a penny from anyone. I've never taken an offering up in my entire Christian life. And when I travel, I say, listen, honorarium is nothing I'm coming for. You don't even have to receive an offering. I won't even think about it. And I buy my own plane tickets everywhere I go. Why? Because I believe what I'm preaching. And I believe you're worth the blood of Jesus Christ. This is not a business to me. This is not a way of living. This isn't my job. And just because it's gotten muddied up doesn't mean it's muddy from the beginning. It has. Men have muddied this thing up. It doesn't mean the original waters aren't pure. So you got to make sure you don't let the muddy waters that men created muddy your heart. And all of a sudden you get tricked into being a product of men instead of a product of the living God. And all of a sudden you're sitting in a service like this. I'm not being mean to you, and I'm not saying it's you. I'm saying don't let it be you. And all of a sudden your heart's actually hard because of people still in life and a supervisor and a former spouse. And now you're stereotyped by the life that's been instead of the life you're called to. And all of a sudden you got issues and need counseling over and over and over. But if you don't change your belief system, you'll never go free. If you don't enter into the truth of this song, how will you ever have the confidence with an unveiled face to approach him if you don't see yourself the way he sees you through his son? It's the biggest deal on the planet. Every addictive lifestyle, every cycle that men live by, men that are gripped by pornography, it all goes back to a low esteem and people not knowing who they are. You got a man bound in pornography. We think he has a spirit of addiction. He has an identity crisis. and he's feeding something that was never created to be, called his flesh, his own self. He's living for a fantasy. He's feeding something that can never be fulfilled or satisfied. We've tried to drink from so many fountains. My dad, growing up, he's alcoholic. My mom is sick. She can barely walk. She was in bedridden for 15 years of my life. She was sick for 40 and died early. And dad's an alcoholic. And dad's never said, "I love you," in my life. I had never heard him growing up say it. Remember, he took us hunting and he took us fishing, you know, because we'd go with him and do that stuff. But he was always drinking. He always had a six pack. He was a functional alcoholic, but that's still an alcoholic. It affects you. And if I'm trying to find my identity through my dad, I'm in trouble because I'm trying to drink from a dry cup. Of course, people are dry. They think because he's my dad, he has to love me. And if I don't get love from him, I can never be free. Or if some man in the church with gray hair and a beard doesn't hug me and bless me and take the place of my dad, I can't be free. You be careful with those teachings. That's idolatry. The blood of Jesus makes me free. The gospel makes me free. I don't need to jump through hoops to complete the work of Christ. It's finished. And I got proof. I got proof. He said to me, if you'd have asked me for a drink, I'd have give you a drink. Why are you drinking here? Why are you trying here? Why are you trying through this relationship? Why are you trying to get your dad to say something he never said? Why are you living for that moment when you can live in me? If you'd have just asked me for a drink, I'd have give you a drink. And you know what? It'd be living water. And you will never thirst again. You know why I come across the way I do? Because I got that drink. I drank the cup of Jesus Christ. And it fulfilled me. And I don't need anything from anybody. Because I got everything in him. Now that frees me up to love you. And not be hurt by you. Let down by you. Broken by you. Betrayed by you. All of a sudden, I can wake up and be more like him and wake up to love you, not need you. See how free I am now? Yay. All of a sudden, I don't walk in a room and self-conscious and hoping somebody notices me, weighing the atmosphere to see if Summit is loving. Should have been loving. You were there. Come on, we've been in this rat race thing. We've been in all the right places. Jesus said there's folks going to run to him. He's going to say, huh? Who are you? What? Come on, you got to know me. I listened to you in the streets. I supped with you. I hung out around you. Now, I ain't questioning whether you're going to heaven or not. It gets people freaked out in America when you talk like this because the whole goal of Christianity in America has been going to heaven. We've been super, I'm going to say it. Is the film running? We've been super deceived in this country, making the gospel all about blessing, provision, protection, and going to heaven, not about transformation, image of God, becoming love, and living in the Spirit. Super deceived. Here's how you know. Because you have tons of discouraged Christians that attend church. Why? Because they're still self-conscious and they ain't catching a break and they're wondering why the promises ain't happening. And some of them are even mad at God and ready to give up because their dream didn't come true. And they forgot to do something important, to deny themselves, pick up their cross and follow him, and seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness so all these things he created you for could be added unto you. Come on, I've never read any other gospel. But I've heard a lot of other gospel preached. I've heard the motive get twisted and shifted, and all of a sudden it's beneficial instead of transforming. And all of a sudden it's what I get from him instead of what I become in him. And all of a sudden I can live one way and claim another thing, and live another way and claim another thing instead of Christ in me, the hope of glory, committed, surrendered. What you see is what you get. That's what impresses men. That's what impresses the devil. That's what opens the hearts of men to hear the gospel. Not when a man preaches the word, when he becomes the word. Why do they want what you say if they can't see it in you? Then we get reduced to, well, brother, you just got to relate. You got to keep it real. You can't come in like this and everybody will think and you're just, no, and all this. And then they start calling it denial and religious pride and speaking above where folks are. Are you kidding me? He said, come up hither. You don't bring him down. He lifts you up. We get it all backwards, and it's all about relatable. You just got to relate. Preacher will stand up this morning somewhere in America and say, brother, we just got to keep it real. You know, everybody has their moments. We all fall apart. I know we all have our animosities, and we all have fallouts. We just got to keep, stay humble, make restitution, and keep moving forward. That is a weak and non-transforming gospel. And to just say we all have our moments is a cop-out. You try to run that by Jesus. You ask Jesus when he had his moments. You say, well, that was Jesus. Well, that's who you're following. That's who's in you. That's who you represent. You're the body of. That literally means the embodiment of who he is. So when people say, well, you know, everybody's going to have their moments. You're saying that's why I'm going to have mine, because I have a platform for it. I believe it. So when you have your moment, you have no sense to repent because you're not convicted because, hey, that's the way we are. And anybody says they ain't is in denial. Oh my goodness. It's exactly what happens. I've seen it. Yeah. We've compared ourselves among ourselves. And we've allowed our human experiences to rise above the power of his grace that wants to change us. And we've identified ourselves with who we've been, instead of who we're created to be and what he's waiting to shape us into. So who's going to step out of the lie and step into the truth? Who's going to come out of darkness into the light? Who's going to fail to be conformed to the world so they can be transformed by the renewing of their mind? I looked up renewing your mind. You know what it means? Thinking like you never thought before. That means none of us were taught by the truth. The only possibility to be taught by the truth is through Jesus, because he is the truth. He said, don't call any man your teacher. Don't let anyone be your teacher. You have one. You have one teacher, not two. One, not two. One. You have one, not two. One. He's the Christ. So if I didn't learn it in him and from him, I didn't learn it at all. There's a way that seems right. It could be half-truth, and that's the problem. It's half-truth, so you can't identify it hardly because it's half-truth. Satan is a master, and I'm not boasting in him. He is very strategic. He's been a master at presenting half-truth. I don't even think he cares about us attending church. I think he uses it as a platform of deception. He lets all the things you do for Jesus take the place of knowing him. He lets all our Christian behaviors and he screen saver, ringtone, t-shirt, bumper sticker. All of a sudden, all the things we do Christian and proclaim Christian take the place of knowing him. But knowing him is what changes my life. I've said it for years. Not a lot of people agree. I'm not looking for agreement. I just want your heart to just consider and be convicted if so and say, wow, I'm not going to let this man. I saw this sermon as a safeguard. Wow, this sprung me into what I'm called to. Wow, there was a little haze in front of me, but now there's light on the trail. Don't you leave here today and say, boy, I got a long way to go. No, you got direction. You got somewhere to go. Don't be like, man, you really stepped on my toes. I am not here to step on anyone's toes. I'm here to tell you who you are, what he paid for. I flew here to tell you who you are on Jesus's dime. They didn't pay for my plane ticket. I bought it on Jesus's dime to tell you who you are, that your lives are worth this. Yes. Yeah? Yes. You say, well, why would a guy do that? Well, why would a guy hang on a cross when he's innocent? Why would somebody give everything when they owed nothing? It's called love. It's what we've been robbed of. That's why we've been angry and frustrated and discouraged from the time we can remember. From little up, somebody owed you something and you couldn't even explain it. It was just on the earth. It was in your mentality. By sheer instinct, we were created in God's image, but born into the fall of man. And by sheer instinct, every person in this room was self-centered. You needed stability, honor, appreciation, protection, safety. You needed so many things. You needed somebody to value you and want you and love you and need you from the time you can remember. And none of us had all those things on the list, and some of us had very few of those things on the list. So what happened to us? We became a product of how we responded to what we've been through. And the truth is, none of it's you. You get laughed at in third grade. You get mocked in third grade. Now you're faced with choices. You either get introverted, broken, and low esteemed and pull back, or you become a fighter, harden your heart, and push through. But neither response is really you. It's a product of what you're going through. It's all a lie. We got to get born again. You got to become a product of what he went through. You got to call this all dead. It's why scripture says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. You can't bring the new into the old. You can't put new wine in an old wineskin. The wineskin will burst and the new wine will spill out. And you'll live up and down and encouraged and discouraged, encouraged and discouraged, and hope and hopeless. And you all good? Thanks for your song. It starts with that song. I'm going to show you the scripture. You got it. I want you, if you could, see how gracious I am? That was probably up there for a long time, wasn't it? I thought I just needed to give you a long time to figure it out. I said, no, I'm just kidding. Thank you, whoever did that. Can somebody go just skip right to verse 21? Somebody. Verse 21. There we go. They did it quick, didn't they? They're good, man. They're good. We don't want to puff them up in pride, but they're good, man. That's why I acted like it wasn't. No, I didn't see it was up there that quick. They're really good. These screens are really high. I was in a church, the screens were really high, and I was preaching. This guy came up, and he said, the whole time you were preaching, I saw this blue angel hovering over you. And you know, I'm not saying I don't believe him. I just understand there's angelic stuff going on. Holy Spirit's in me. We live in the kingdom realm. I get it. So I wasn't like enamored. I wasn't like, really? What do you look like? Blue angel? Cool. Wow, blue. That means revelation. Okay, whoa. So then I'm like, you know, so I'm not like that. I'm not like that at all. So if you tell me something like that and you're being real spiritual and spooky and I don't respond much, don't think that I didn't believe you. I'm not really that moved by that. But in that service, after he told me that, it was probably in my mind, subconscious, because he told me that, and I'm preaching, I look, and everybody's looking out over top me. And I'm trying to catch eyes as I'm preaching, and nobody was looking at me. I was quoting scripture, and everybody's looking here, and I thought, they're all seeing that angel. I was like, whoa, that dude must be right there. So I thought, if I look, maybe the Lord will let me see him. Because obviously people are like, they're looking. And it was a passionate moment. And I'm preaching scripture. I'm reading. And everybody's looking over. And I went. And I looked. And it was the big screen. And everybody was reading the scripture. And I thought they were looking at something hovering over me. And I went, man, I thought I was going to see that angel. Okay, enough of that. Even though it's good to chuckle and be lighthearted a little bit, isn't it? Because you see how serious this message is? But this is just a little Holy Ghost anesthesia in between. It's a little laughing gas. It just like, he doesn't want you burdened. He doesn't want to lie. Look, he's cutting your heart out this morning. He's got it on the table. He's circumcising it. He goes, stick it back in your chest and sew it up all in one service. And you laugh your way through and don't even really know what happened, but you think different. And you don't even know you had serious surgery. Should be in ICU. But you didn't feel no pain. You didn't bleed to death. You chuckled. You were like, and then you look over to boss and say, are you bleeding? Holy Ghost anesthesia. You see how you're laughing right now? The knife's coming. And it won't hurt as bad. Because he just puts you under just a little bit. Just a little bit. Ha, 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 ha. Oh. It's coming. No, this is good. Actually, there's no knife coming. This is good news. This is the song. This is where the song. Oh, this is the song. Even though you were once distant from him. What translation is that? Do you have New King James? I'm not against the Passion. I want you to see New King James. I have the Passion Bible. I just want you to see New King. Do you have it? Can you do it for me? Is that cool? Good, thanks. I didn't know if I'm asking too much. Thanks. Okay. This is what I preach out of, read out of, so I preach out of it, so I'll be able to just, I want you to see this. And you, who? You, me, us, we're all in the same boat. That's why there's no pride or self-righteousness. We've all lived in a certain manner apart from God. We haven't all done the same things, but we've all lived apart from him. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all walked in disobedience, it says, right? So that's why there's not self-righteousness and judgment. When we were yet sinners, God sent his son. So you don't get saved and look down on people. You get saved and look up on him. And when you look back at them, you have his perspective. And you go, wow, they need mercy too. Wow, they don't understand. I remember when I didn't understand. I remember when I was sure I was right and I was so wrong. And my life wasn't. They don't even realize what they're creating. And all of a sudden you have compassion for people, not frustration. You say, well, don't people get under your skin? I got new skin 24 years ago. New skin. Meaning, I think different, I see different. The Bible is so clear that the New Covenant, New Testament is all about changing our perspective and getting our eyes single. If he can change your perspective, he's changing your whole life. We were homeschooled in the wrong home. He wants us out of darkness into the light. The way that seemeth right to a man trained every one of us. Somebody did you wrong, payback, ticked off, cut them off, reaction. Come on. Just life itself outside of God taught you that was right. But when you look at Jesus, you can't find that behavior. So he didn't teach us that. If we were on the cross for doing nothing wrong, we'd be freaking out. Here'd be our prayer. God, what the blank? Why are you letting this happen to me? I've been doing nothing but good. I've been trying to help these people. How many people got healed? How many bellies got fed? Man, the dead are getting raised. And these idiots want to do this to me and kill me? I've done nothing but good. Barabbas, what an insult. He kills a man. I raise the dead. And they want to crucify me? These people are nuts. Are you kidding me? If they didn't change by now, they ain't never going to change. Wouldn't that be us? But that wasn't him. Why wasn't that him? Because he's Jesus? Because he's love. What were you created for? His image, love. People, I'm telling you straight with seriousness. If we miss becoming love, we've missed the whole point of why he's come. He did not come to take you to heaven. He came to put heaven back inside of you and make you one with the one that's eternal. That's why you'll never die. The carrot is in heaven. The carrot is new life, new motives, new reason for being. Because if you don't get a new reason for being, you won't stay free. You'll still live in the flesh, and people will hurt you and eat your lunch and have power over you. And you'll still be insecure and angry and frustrated. We say, well, ain't that who, I mean, did God gave us Moses. God did not make you that way. Adam became that way, and you got born into him, and you got to get born again. So you come out of the old into the new. You put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of the one who made you. That's Colossians 3:10. It's right there. But ain't no preacher in my life told me that I could live this way. They just said, pray this prayer so you can go to heaven. do the best you can. We're always going to sin, but he paid the price to forgive your sin. But you ought to try a little harder because he really did a good thing. But hey, we're always going to sin. He died because we're sinners. At least he's going to receive us. Isn't it amazing how he loves us? And I was a confused kid that didn't understand. That message doesn't have any power to change my life. It creates so many questions, I can never come to a truth. What I'm preaching to you right now answers every question and locks your heart into truth so you can write a song like that with tears because you see it. Yeah. And it's refreshing because then one flesh covenant spouse gets up and expounds on the revelation, nails it. We could have just went home and believed it. But I'm glad I got to preach a little. I'm feeling good right now. No need to preach. It's just fun. I'd preach to a tree if I could. I just say, you're amazing. Look how unique your bark is. That's cool. I'd wave my branches too if I were you. Praise him. Come on, let's just praise him. And you, who? You and me. We were once alienated. We were separated. See, when you were born, when you were as far back as you can remember, as a little tiny child, you had so many needs in your life. And here's the raw truth. Not one of us had a clue who we were, because Adam lost his identity through sin. And the day he ate the tree was the day he surely died. But he didn't fall over dead. So what died? Who he was created to be died. The image of God in him died. He got separated from love and became in need of love instead of being love. So now Jesus comes, gets the lie off of us, and grafts us back into the vine. And we're the branch. He's the vine. We're the branch. Where's the fruit hang? On the branch. On your life. Image of God. And in this the Father's well pleased that you bear much. See, you're created to manifest him. You're created to walk in love. You're created to show mercy and make peace. We have not been merciful. We've been vengeful. We've been hurt. We've been bound with unforgiveness. And when you tell a Christian to forgive, they say, give me time. It's hard. And I'm going, why is it hard? Ask Jesus if it's hard. Maybe we're comparing ourselves among ourselves, and maybe it's only hard because it's all you ever knew. So you're supposed to look at a new way, a new life, a new thing, new wine, and become a new creation. This thing ain't hard. So you get water baptized, and you say death to all the things that were old, and you say life to all the things that come. And then you ask Holy Spirit to walk you through these things. And if old flashbacks and old expressions and old feelings come up and try to get in the way, you recognize, wow, that isn't what I was created for. That was never intended for me. That's not the heart of God. Wow, Father, I thank you. You're more than that in me, and I don't ever have to live there again. And God, I thank you. I'm really not disappointed with them. They don't owe me a thing. God, you're working a new thing in me. I bless them right now, and I pray, God, right now, bam, bam, bam. And it ain't even about failing. It's about becoming. It's about walking it out by faith. And if you feel like you're slipping, you run to him. You don't run from him. The day of fig leaves is over. You wear righteousness, and you stand before him and be loved and empowered by God. Come on, that's the gospel. It's good tidings, a great joy. Satan's strategy is that you get so touched by life till you hear this message that you can hardly respond because you got so many issues. You got so much stuff, and deep in your heart, you're even disappointed with God, because why'd he let it happen if he's good? And you misunderstand the whole thing, that he's given the earth to the children of men. He's told us to steward it. We've dropped the ball. Sin has taken advantage, and men have crushed men, and the devil looks like he's winning sometimes. And Jesus took it in his own hands to take away sin and get back inside of you so you can be what you were created to be. And the trouble is, when that message comes, Satan hopes that by the time that message comes, you're so run over by life, you can't rejoice. But the just shall live by faith. You got to see the scripture. This is where the song came from. You're alienated, your enemies to God. Why? By the way our minds worked. What were our minds doing? Is he just talking about adultery, murder, rape? He's talking about self-centeredness. It's enmity when you're thinking for yourself, when you're made for God's image. You're either for me or you're against me, right? Watch this. Watch this. It's a paradox. You're either for me or against me. Gather to me or scatter. You know what we think on the surface? People that aren't saved and people that are saved. People that didn't pray the prayer and people that did pray the prayer. You could pray that prayer 1,000 times, attend church, serve on the board, go on mission trips, and have an attitude and a mindset that's totally contrary to the kingdom of God and working against his purposes. And you can let what you do in his name take the place of knowing him, and knowing him changes your life. Come on, it's the raw truth. You're either for me or against me. You can actually be sincere and see your need for a savior and be born again and have your name written in a book of life and not deal with your heart in a matter and actually let your heart function in a way that works against in the body what God wants to accomplish. And it's not because you're a hypocrite. It's not because you're evil. It's because you either don't understand or you haven't dealt with that thing. You follow what I'm saying? Watch this. What made us alienated and enemies? Our minds didn't work like his. We were thinking for ourselves. He was thinking in love. Do you know how many people are Christians for themselves because of the way they hear the gospel? They become a Christian for well-being. They become a Christian for protection over all that they care about. They become a Christian so God blesses them and makes their life better and more profitable. If you're a Christian for you, you're in big trouble. No wonder people live up and down and discouraged and miffed and wonderment and can't hardly worship. If the rent's paid, both hands are high. Woo! They're waving every flag they can get a hand on. They're wishing they were an octopus, you know. The rent's paid. I'm going to worship God, man. All of a sudden, they don't think the rent's going to be paid, and they're over in a corner with their hands in their pocket drawing attention to themselves looking for everybody to pray. And all of a sudden, your motives are given up and exposed. And all of a sudden, he's your genie in a bottle. He's not your father. And if the rent don't get paid, you really got questions. Now you're really mad at him because he said he'd never fail. Now we're singing that song, "You Never Failed Me Yet," and you're thinking, what about the rent? Now you can't even sing the song because you got issue with the rent. Well, it happens all the time. I can bring it worse. Happens with lost loved ones, children. Child that ran wayward, and the mama prayed and prayed and prayed, and the child ran wayward. Now the mama can't even sing the song. She just sits and cries because all she thinks about, because her whole identity is revolving around her child. And she doesn't even realize she's being deceived, that she's not even believing the Spirit of God and all the things she prayed in despair. She's obviously not believing because her whole disposition is wrecked and trashed, and one son runs off and two birds fall. Come on. And all of a sudden, you ain't even praying anymore, and you're mad at God. And why'd you even let this happen? I prayed to you for 20 years for that boy to run well and that he would love you, et cetera, et cetera. How can he be out there doing this? How come he don't love you? And you don't even realize how you helped push him away because you were so in fear and so desperate that you preached and preached and preached at him, and some of his running is getting away from you. I'm just telling you. I've been around it. I've pastored it. Overbearing parents that are living in fear, because their identities are revolving around their children, and they believe their children are a direct reflection of them. So they don't know how to stand in faith and be unmoved and believe that they taught them and trained them in the way they should go. When they grow old, they won't depart. They say, well, how old do they got to get, brother? That's what they say. And then they prove that they're disappointed with God, and they prove that they're not living by faith, and they reveal through their words that their heart doesn't see. Because their sheer countenance alone gives away that they're not living by faith. They're letting where their son isn't decide where they are. And now their son has become the Lord of their life. And the whole time their son's wayward, they could be productive, they have purpose, they have destiny. The gospel hasn't changed. Jesus still loves them, lives in them, and Holy Spirit wants to rock and tear it up through their life. But all they can see is the wayward son. They have no vision beyond that. I'm not saying it's fun when your child's out there doing that stuff. Believe me, I know, I had two. But they're both doing very well. And when you look at me, you don't see two children that ran wayward. You don't see a wife in a coma with brain damage who had 8 years of identity crisis who wouldn't come to church, and I was a full-time pastor. You don't see that I was touched wrong and had an alcoholic dad, and my mother died at a younger age than she could have or should have. You don't see any of that, do you? Why? You're not supposed to. Because none of that is my story. This is my story. This is my song. I got new life.
through Jesus Christ. You look at Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego after Nebuchadnezzar. You try to tell me they were in a fire except for the passion in their heart that some couldn't relate to. You couldn't tell they were in that fire. There was no smell of smoke. There was no burning. There was nothing even singed. There was zero evidence of the trial they were in. There was only evidence of the God they believed. So, what do you learn from that? Was the fire ever the problem? What do you believe is what's being challenged? So is our fight with people? Is our fight with the devil? Or do we fight the good fight of faith? And do we continue to believe in the face of it all and never change our mind because he is faithful? Come on. That's just good preaching. See, I'm making up for not preaching last night. I was so not supposed to preach last night. Don't anybody not believe that. I'm telling you, I knew. I told Jason, I said, buddy, I knew I wasn't preaching a half hour in. He said, are you serious? I said, yeah. He went, man, that's awesome. Because he said, because I knew where we were at, and I knew what, I felt like I knew what we needed to do, but I brought you in. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to see if you're seeing or hearing anything. I'm going to give you that opportunity. And I said, yeah, you don't have to worry about that. I knew I wasn't preaching. When you ran to get me that mic last night, back there, somebody ran to get me that mic. When somebody said, Jason said, go get that mic. And I said, no. A couple guys were around me looking at me like, I said, no, I'm not. And I had to break through the crowd because Jason didn't hear me because he's a wild man. He's so awesome. And the Lord really esteemed your husband and you in my heart. I didn't tell you this, but I'll tell you it publicly and make you cry publicly. No, go do it now. He said, Dan, I don't want you to have the mic very long. I want you to hand it back to him because he's anointed for what's happening. He's been appointed to a house. And when he was saying that, I knew he was talking about both of you. He said, I've appointed them to a house. And they're anointed for this moment. And they will find wisdom in me. Yeah. So don't ever fear this thing slightly. Don't ever just say, you're the way maker. You're doing what you're doing. And we're just all in. It's like that song we found. You're looking for a place to land. Here we are. He showed me that. He said, I've appointed them over a house. He's anointed for this moment. He'll know what to do with me. And I just called people forward to commit and surrender. And I gave him the mic and I took off running. Because you get excited and then you say too much because it's all good. It's not that it's evil or bad, but you could say too much. You're on the street talking to somebody who knows you can say too much, who knows there's a time to just leave them with Jesus. You say, well, did you get them saved? I gave them Jesus. I've heard people, they criticize some of the stuff that's being taught. Like they'll say, well, what's the big deal getting a word of knowledge and somebody healed? Whoopee, you didn't even lead them to the Lord. That is religion talking. When people talk like that, they reveal to me they don't know the Lord. They've just read about him. And they're steeped in opinions. Some sow, some water. The goal is ultimately everybody knowing Jesus. But the kingdom of God is if a man scatters seeds. Some sow, some water. So what are you going to do? Discourage the sower because he didn't pray the prayer with the person and he didn't lead him to the Lord? There's people that reap where they haven't even. So what? Did the person that sowed miss their appointment and their job? And do they need more training? Or are they just all part of a process called love? So somebody reaps. We call them evangelists and build a conference around them. And then they talk about the fish they caught. And the only reason they reaped is because somebody sowed, and we don't know who that was. So make sure you love people. Because whether you're sowing or whether you're reaping, it's important because God gives the increase. Just make sure you're loving people. Don't get caught loving yourself. Don't be a Christian for yourself. Be a Christian for his great name. And wrap faith around that so tight You actually hold yourself accountable to attitudes, reactions, whatever. Come on. We're called to love. Love doesn't seek its own. Takes no account of the wrong done to it. Why? Because it ain't about itself. That's why God was never moved by us. That's why when we were alienated and enemies in our minds by wicked works, he was busy reconciling. It says that he sent his son to reconcile, not holding our sins against us. And you and I have the same ministry of reconciliation. Not seeing men for where they've been, seeing men for where he's been, understanding they have a higher value than what they've. Yeah? I gotta finish this and wrap up, I'm sorry. Yet now he has what? Okay, so watch this. It doesn't even say we changed our mind. We were alienated enemies by wicked works, yet now he reconciled. So he rolled the ball and made the move on the chessboard of wisdom to reconcile, and we didn't even change our minds. So we had the same mind while he was reconciling. How's that possible? Is it some weird wink your eye at sin, look away the other way kind of love? Is it some kind of weird love? Like, oh, God, he just loves you anyway. No, let's put definition to it. He knows what he created you to be. He understands your potential. He knows what your life will look like when he's in you and you're surrendered, and he believes that's worth paying the highest price for. So why don't we go after that instead of Christian confession and our name in a book called life? See, love lays down its life for another. You know what the perversity of love is? Self-centeredness. You know what that does? Lives at the expense of the people around you. Now, how many times have we lived at the expense of each other? You're just in a family of three, two, three, four, and you cop an attitude that puts pressure on the rest of the home and forces them to respond in some way or fashion. You're taking life from the family, not adding to it. You're living at the expense of your home. You know how spouses do silent treatments? Notorious for silent treatments. They express their mood, their satisfaction or dissatisfaction through body language. Come in the morning. Wasn't cool the way y'all went to bed. Come in the morning. Hey, good morning. Yeah. You okay? Fine. What you're saying is I ain't fine, and you're supposed to know it, and you're supposed to do something about it to make me fine. And the truth is you probably can't make up for it, so you're just going to have to deal with it because you're the one that made me this way. You know what it is in a marriage? Let's get real. It's control and manipulation. It's emotional control and manipulation. Now watch. Jesus would never do that. So when you do that, you reveal that you don't know him like we sing, and you ought to get to know him a little more, because he would never do that. Now, that's not condemnation. That's just straight up sword stuff right there. Oh. Come on, that's not condemnation. What, you want to come? You want to come and hallelujah, yeah, ooh, 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 wow, 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 wow. You want to do all that? And then get in the car and actually have animosity over a topic, a preference, where you're going to eat. Why do you always get to pick where you eat? Well, I want to eat there. Well, you should. Well, shut up. Holy, holy, holy. And every time you do it, you desensitize your spirit, man. And you teach yourself how to live in the old and believe you're partaking of the new when all things become new. Come on, that's just straight. See, I'm smiling. Smile with me. Say, I love you, Dan. Yet he has what? Next verse, finally. You guys are the best. You really are. You don't believe me, do you? In the body of his flesh, he reconciled you. How did he reconcile? This is what she's singing. How did he reconcile you? Through the body of his flesh, through death. The scripture does not say you even changed your mind yet. You didn't even change your mind yet. But he reconciled you. He paid the price to see you through a truth named Jesus and his shed blood. Because nothing was made that wasn't made through him. So he refuses to see you apart from him. That's amazing. You know why the gospel's been so skewed? Because you don't love God first. You see his first love. And the message has been so skewed that we can't see his first love. We're like, I can't believe he loves me. I wonder why he'd love me. It's amazing he did that for me. Because we weigh our value based on our own assessment. He weighs our value based on what he created us for. This will help you see his first love. Through the body of his flesh, through death. Uh-oh. He reconciled us through the body of his flesh, through death, comma, to present you. This is our song. To present you. Oh, it's not heresy. Don't be afraid. Read it out loud with me. It's the word of God. God's not a heretic. People that are preaching God's word are getting called to be heretics because the people that call them heretics can't relate to the truth they're preaching. That's all. That's all that's happening. To present you. Oh, my goodness, wait. Comma, are you serious? He said it. He said, this is ridiculous. You said it. You said this thing is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It hinges on fairy tale. What's the second thing you are? You're holy. What's the second thing you are? Hey, what happened to my verse? I was ready to pray for one of you guys. I thought you thought I was preaching heresy or something, and you skipped. I said, get him, Holy Ghost, and the scripture came back. Holy, what are you, second? Okay. Blameless is what? Blameless. No blame. So why do Christians feed on guilt, condemnation, shame? Because they're not accepting this truth. We've been blinded to this truth. We're afraid to believe this truth. We're taught this truth can't be the truth, but the Bible says it's the truth. You're what? So wonder if you woke up in the morning and you have a sincere heart for the gospel and you really want to grow in God and these songs and you're sincere and you feel like you've been struggling, but you're sincere and you're wondering like, how long is it going to take for me to get to where I'm going? But yet you're sincere. And because you're sincere, you wake up in the morning and you think, okay, I'm going to walk as best I can walk today. I'm going to walk, try to just stay free from sin and guard my heart from things that God doesn't. That's what people do. It's like, there's people that preach that way. No. This is how you wake up. Instead of waking up trying not to sin, why don't you wake up and believe you're free from it? Why don't you wake up and believe you're blameless? When she said, this is how I get free from cycles and free from sin, this is what she's talking about. Watch, it's the power of God. You're saved by grace through faith. When I release faith in the truth, grace comes to make truth my reality. So when I wake up and say, Father, I thank you. I'm accepted and beloved. No one owes me a thing. I'm already in. I'm already fulfilled. I'm blameless in your sight and above reproach. You love me and you see me and judge me today as if I've never sinned through the blood of Jesus Christ. I haven't found a way to keep on sinning and get away with it and smooth it over with words. I've found a way to truly be free. Thank you for empowering my heart to live a holy life. Thank you that blameless can be an expression in my life. And thank you the pure in heart shall see God. God, you have touched me deeply. Thanks for your love. Wouldn't that be a great way to go to work instead of, God, I'm really praying for grace today if I'm going to get through. I mean, I got a lot on my plate today, and I don't even know how I'm going to make it, and I got to work beside Billy, and he's a jerk, and if you don't touch him, God, I wish you'd just give me a new job. That is not prayer. That is self-centered delusion. Thank you. Present you holy, blameless, and above. Woo! Yeah, that's where we're going. Good. You got that, didn't you? Where? Just in your bedroom? Just in your day? In his. You see why she's singing? You see me like you see your son? It's scriptural. And it's the key truth of the finished work of Christ that makes men free. When you believe you're a son, your life starts looking like sonship. When you believe you're accepted, you start living acceptable. If you're trying to live acceptable, you always think you're not, and you get condemned and don't feel worthy. When you believe what he accomplished, grace is working through your life. And if you make the tree good and the eye single, the fruit will be good and the vessel full of light. You get it? But if you make a tree bad, if you don't tell people who they are, if you tell them these things, you know, my buddy Todd would call me, Todd White would call me, and he, Dan, I gotta talk, I just used crack last night. He'd be crying on the phone. I'd say, well, listen, man, let me just tell you who you are, okay? Yeah, but dude, you don't understand, I used crack, man. I said, no, I do understand. But let me ask you this question. When's the last time you cried over using crack? And then he cried harder. And I said, do you see how close you are, man? Yes. The biggest lie is if you become a crackhead because you used crack, and you become an addicted person because you used crack, and you fail to keep believing and seeing your son, and God's putting strength and victory in your life. Come on, man. You're crying because you used. 2 weeks ago, you already had a scam and a plan to use again when you came off this high. You are broken inside because the gospel is changing your life. That sure beats, you did what? Dude, you can't do that. You're a hypocrite, man. I don't want you coming and raising hands in worship. You need to just, and you need to sit in the corner until you get this, dude. So I'd lead him in a little prayer and I'd hang up, telling him to keep on talking to the Father. Because now he used, guess what he is? Guess what he is? He's feeling what? Guilty. Does guilty sound like blameless? Okay, you say, well, Dan, yeah, but wait, you got to take responsibility for your sins. Yeah, you do. So he's already broken. He's already crying. If you don't turn it into godly sorrow, it'll turn into condemnation. True? So what do? You teach him godly sorrow. So you hang up the phone and he says, Father, I am not created for drugs. I don't need cocaine. I open my life to this thing and it's trying to drive me. There is a vacuum in my life that only you can fill. I am not a drug addict. I am a child of the living God, and Holy Spirit, I welcome you, and I thank you, Father, for empowering me. And bam, 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 you camp there, and you'll wonder in time why you were ever even tempted by cocaine.
Yep. That's right.
Oh, it's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth. I know a man years ago, he couldn't stop smoking. He was violated. He felt like he should have quit. He felt like he was hurting his temple. He just felt like it. I don't preach, hey, you're a Christian, you shouldn't drink, smoke, you shouldn't run around with the ladies. I don't preach that. Sheer instinct in the Holy Ghost tells you the things that are and aren't, right? You don't preach the do's and don'ts. You preach who we are. You preach right being. But this guy had a personal conviction that he should stop smoking, but he couldn't. He tried every patch out there. He tried every process out there. He couldn't quit. So he come to a pastor. And I didn't tell him this. He'd come to a pastor, and he said, Pastor, I can't stop smoking for nothing, man. I'm so condemned because I feel like every time I smoke, I'm just hurting my body more, and I've opened this thing up. It's like it just owns me, man. This thing it owns me. And he said, no, Jesus owns you, man. He said, listen, every time you feel like you have to have a cigarette, I want you to preach Colossians chapter 1, and it was like verse 13. He said, I have been delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of your son of love. And he said, wow, I'm lighting up a cigarette? You want me to pray that? He said, no, I want you to believe that. He said, well, that'll make me a hypocrite. He said, no, that'll make you a believer. He said, you're not smoking it and covering over your sin with scripture. You want freedom. So every time you're lighting it and smoking it, what you're saying is, this isn't the real me. This is not an expression of my heart. This is violating me. I can't even sleep at night. I want this out of my life. I opened the door. It took over me. Only he can break this chain, and it's going to be through truth because it'll make me free. So he felt real weird. He told his story. He wrote out his testimony. He's lighting a cigarette saying, thank you, God, I've been delivered from the power of darkness. And translated into the kingdom of the son of your love. And he said he felt so weird. So he did what most people do when they're trying to quit smoking. Whoever tried to quit smoking in here and you got to the end of the pack and your decree, your resolution was just won't buy another pack. Yeah? Yeah. That's what he did. So he gets down to the pack. He can't stand this. He's praying this prayer every time he's smoking, and he's smoking a lot. And he's like, So he says, I just ain't smoking no more. I ain't getting no more pack. So he's at the gas pump, and what's inside the door? A whole wall of cigarettes calling his name. And he goes, he's like pumping gas. You know, he's like. He buys a new pack. He feels horrible inside. He said he was fighting with these feelings. He was saying, Father, I thank you that you delivered me from the power of darkness, translated me the king and the son of your love. And he's kind of half emotional, crying. He goes back out, pump, he finishes, tops off, whatever. He gets in his truck, he throws his cigarettes to the console. And he's thinking about the Lord and the scripture, and he's driving. He gets to where he's going, and he realizes, I didn't even open the pack. I have a cigarette in my mouth before I even get out of the door. I would have had a cigarette in my mouth and lip before I even got to the truck. I didn't even open the pack. I don't even feel like I want a cigarette. I can't even relate to smoking a cigarette right now. You have delivered me from the power of darkness. And to my knowledge, it was the last time you smoked a cigarette. Power of scripture, truth. If you make a tree good. What's he say? Jesus said, a good tree can't bear. And we go, and we become fruit inspectors. We start eyeballing other trees. Oh, look at that fruit. Woo, must be a cloud without water right over there in that row. Ooh, a little wolf in sheep's clothing hanging out over there. That's the stuff we think. He says, a good tree can't bear bad fruit. And we're freaked out because we're assessing our tree and we're thinking, man, there's a couple things on my tree that probably should have been addressed and plucked by now. So I mustn't be a good tree. And condemnation eats people up because they actually do care. Do you understand? You can't condemn somebody that doesn't care. Condemnation can only work in the pure in heart. We don't understand this stuff. You can't live condemned if you don't have life on the inside. If you don't care, you don't care. He says, a good tree can't bear what? Bad fruit. What's he say? A bad tree can't bear. Now I'm confused if he's saying what it sounds like, because there's some things in my life I need to prune and clip and clean up. And there's some things in my life that are absolutely changed and transformed and producing fruit. Not everything in my life is a throwaway. I'm puzzled. A good tree can't bear bad fruit, but I see a couple things in my life that need to change. But a bad tree can't bear good fruit, and I see things in my life that are him. So he must mean something else. But here's the problem. The whole time he's talking, we're hearing fruit, and he's talking about the tree. A good tree is the pronoun, a good tree. We're hearing fruit. He's not saying a good tree can't bear bad fruit. And a bad tree can't bear good fruit. He's talking about a tree. He said, so make a tree. What's he doing? If you don't know who you are, you won't produce the truth of who you are. And who you think you are is what you'll bear fruit of. So if you make a tree good, he's talking about your identity. He's talking about the individual. He's talking about you, the tree. Whoever saw an apple tree out in an orchard in the row of apple trees, just stressing, man. Oh, yes, yes. I am an apple tree. I am an apple tree. All this time I thought I was in this row and a misfit and didn't belong. But I am an apple tree. And then the apple tree looks down the aisle to see if other apples are more, brighter, redder. Nope, it just sits there and soaks up the sun and drinks in the rain and does what it is. This thing is so simple. So why is an apple tree produce an apple? Duh, it is an apple tree. It's not because it tried. You were created for this from the beginning. You were called to his image from the beginning. It's why we're on the earth. It's why life is so frustrating to people. It's why life feels like a grind. Do you ever hear the terms life's a grind, life's a bleep, life's a blank? Do you ever hear those phrases? You know why people believe life's that way? Because they wake up every day and live it outside of why they're here. And they have no empowerment, no grace in their life to live. Because God won't fill your tank to go down a road you're not called to. I got to stop. I'm done. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, above reproach in his sight. Now here's the clincher right here. This is the song. This is why she's not a heretic. Verse 23. She's going to nail this thing. If indeed, uh-oh, sounds like a catch, a proviso. It sounds like a condition. It is. The just shall live by. If indeed. So what we just read is the truth. Did you get that? It's the finished work of the blood. The truth. Did you get that? If indeed, this means you will not walk in the fruit of it in your life unless this takes place. Watch. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded in, that means continuing steady in this belief. You continue in the faith and you don't move away from this faith and you're not moved away from the hope. Now this is kind of heart-wrenching. Of the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. Well, here's the reality of what we're saying today. What we're preaching this morning in this room, many people haven't even heard close to this. And Paul's assuming we've all heard it because that's what he was preaching. And somehow it got so skewed till our day, people think what he's preaching is heresy. And sincere Christians think this is blasphemy. And we're supposed to not be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which we heard. And unfortunately, a lot of people haven't even heard this hope that you can stand holy, blameless, and above reproach in the sight of an almighty God. So they have never accessed him and had intimacy with him. So they get reduced to serving him instead of knowing him. And now they live as a concubine and wait on the king instead of a bride. And then they live for altar calls and a touch from heaven, a concubine, hoping their name gets called once in a while and they brush against the glory of the king instead of being his bride. This is Jason's bride right here. If she slept in another room and they only talked a little bit in the morning and had a little chat at night and went to a separate room, they wouldn't know each other very well. Might not even have them boys. You see why people don't bear a lot of fruit and things in their life don't look like their father? Because they haven't been with him long enough to get pregnant. If you don't get pregnant, you can't give birth. If you don't have intimacy, you're not getting pregnant. It's a spiritual thought. It ain't weird. It's spiritual. She's been intimate with Jason. They know one another. She's his bride. And they got them boys. You get it? What's your place and my place? Continuing in faith, not letting feelings be moving away, not letting other stuff, not getting wrongly motivated, prioritized. Grounded and steadfast, not moved away. We're going to continue believing we're holy, blameless, above her. Every day we wake up, wow, I thank you that I'm yours, that you love me, that you see me as if I've never sinned. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that's speaking better things. Man, the sin I committed used to mark my own conscience and mark men's memory of me, but you don't see me for the things I've done. You see me for your son, and you've given me new life, and those things are no more. Thank you, God. Let's get this thing on. That's Christianity. And you're not moved away from the hope in which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister. It's really amazing to me how what Paul's saying there has gotten so overlaid and so skewed that a lot of people haven't even heard, that go to church, haven't even heard what we preached. And then when you preach it, it's not correct theologically because we've weighed men's experience way greater than his grace. Are you with me? Yeah. So bottom line, you have access to him, you can approach him, and you can live one with him. Let me close with this and summarize the whole weekend. The whole reason you're on the planet is to pursue his image and live by the Spirit and to walk in love. And folks, I'm not joking. I'm not saying this in a bad, scary, condemning way. I'm saying if we miss that truth, then we pursued something outside of what he paid for, and we've missed the reason that he's come. And we've learned how to do great church and run the risk of not becoming her. You are the body of Christ. And there is a great marriage between coming and going. And the actual only scriptural reason we come here, even though there's a lot of benefits to the body of Christ, to the community and whatnot, it's a corporate celebration and a yay God for who he is. And the more you live in him all week long, the more you understand that celebration. And nobody ever has to plow ground. You don't really have to do that here anyway. It's really good. But you come and you celebrate him, and then you stay stirred up and focused on why he came and who you are in him. And you stay stirred up in love and good works. So really, you might not be a football fan. I don't watch a lot of football because I travel. It's probably my least desired sport to watch, but I'm using it as an illustration. Sunday morning is kind of like a football huddle where you come together, you're in a game, you're playing to win, and we're calling a play. The huddle breaks, and we go on the field. You get what I'm saying? And we got the ball, and we're going to score. You see what I mean? Yeah. So that's what this morning's all about. Stay stirred up in love and in good works. All right? All right. What time you guys normally end? Am I late? Am I way late? You don't. Yeah, but you got kids back there and stuff. I do feel like I want to do one little thing. Can I have somebody on keys or guitar or something? I just need somebody. Yeah, you and me and Holy Ghost is plenty, I promise. Yeah. Oh, that's even better. She's amazing. You're all proud, ain't you? Thank you, Jesus. I've been admiring that girl all weekend. I said, how old is she? She told me, there's so much gifting in your life. You carry yourself in such a beautiful way. You bless my heart beyond what you understand. I see Jesus in you. You carry yourself in an innocence, in a sweetness that it just, I think a flower that ain't even in season will bloom if you walk by. That's just how I see you. I say, well, why is that flower open in February? That's a July flower. Because she walked by it. That's what I think it would just open up just to see. You just carry him. Your gifting is pure. Just keep it pure. Keep your heart before him. And just do everything you do, sweetheart, unto the Lord. And I'm telling you, more people than you'll ever realize till that day are going to get touched by that. Yeah. In fact, I hear this. I believe this is Lord. If you ever feel or believe for a second that your life isn't impacting or you're not making a difference, you're not doing enough, and those thoughts tempt and tease your mind, no, they're straight from hell. They're an absolute lie. Because your disposition alone, just what he has fashioned you into and what you've set your heart to, is enough to carry influence and touch people. It always matters.
Yay.
So good. Yay, good.
You feel the same way, don't you? I guarantee it.
Well, I'm just a stranger from out of town, even though I'm family, and I just walked in, and I was like, whoa. I did that on Friday night. I looked at you, and I, wow, 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 wow. I teased her in the hall then, and I said, hey, don't hold back tonight or Saturday, because she was just all on it, you know? And I said, hey, now, don't hold back tonight. Really open up. We're going to do something real quick. It doesn't have to take long, and I'm not even going to call you up here. I'm going to do it a little different than I usually do for the sake of time and the children and everybody. We've had a long weekend, but this is very important. Don't miss this. Who knows? We just preached that our sins are forgiven and we're completely clean and free and blameless and holy. This is what I've learned in the year 2000. I was sitting in my office, and a ministry called New Life for Girls, recovery ministry. They bring girls off the street, out of prostitution, crack addiction, cocaine, heroin, alcoholism. I mean, they were, in those days, in my city, they were selling themselves for $20 to do a sexual favor just to stay high. And we think low of those girls. We call them names. We have sarcastic phrases for girls like that. And I think, what about the men that are empowering them and picking them up? Like, they're just as lost. They're as twisted. Because you know what? The men have a calling and a value in their life in Christ to help minister to the women and set them free. Not empower them. Not solicit them. Them men are so guilty before the Lord. And then we tend to degrade in our mind the person committing the act instead of the one empowering. Ain't that something? So they called me and they said, hey, would you consider coming and doing our chapel once a month? We're just looking for some fresh faces. We heard some good things about your heart. And some people had suggested that we call you and invite you to come and minister to the girls. I said, well, what's going on? What's the girls? When they told me, this is my favorite arena. It's my favorite arena. I've never, watch this. I've never used drugs. I do not have to have used drugs to minister freedom to somebody bound in drugs. I do not have to relate to the addiction, to the, I don't. It's the anointing that makes men free, not my relatable experience. It's the truth that makes men free. I've seen so many people set free, man. And I'd go to recovery centers. I go to rehab places. I go. I'd put them on the top of my list. I go. Well, what are we in? 2019. On Tuesday, this Tuesday, I'll be at New Life for Girls. Because I've gone every month since the year 2000. No matter how much I travel, no matter what my schedule looks like, I go every month to New Life for Girls. Why? Because there's New Life for Girls. So I hung up the phone. I said, okay, I would be honored to come. And I hung up the phone and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. It was a dramatic experience. I'm not joking. The majesty of the Lord came over me. The holiness of God came in my little office. And I was leaning back on my chair and tears filling my eyes. And I said, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And he said, hey, when you go there, I want you to carry a message of redemption. And I want you to tell them girls, I make all things new. And I said, okay. He said, I want you to preach it. And he gave me a Romans 5 scripture that if we were saved while we were yet sinners through the death of Jesus, how much more should we be saved from wrath through his life? And he said, I will remove hepatitis. I will remove HIVs. I will remove STDs. I will remove any organ damage. I will remove memory loss, concentration loss. I will touch them girls in redemption and bring them back to original value as if they have never, ever sinned. And I just sat in my office and cried. I went up there and preached redemption and God just went. So since the year 2000, when the year 2019, I haven't been a quiet man. I've been active. Do you know how many people I've seen healed and delivered of STDs and hepatitis, HIV. I've seen doctor reports. I get emails. They get their 3 monthly tests, negative, 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 scratch their heads and take them off a list. I've seen people come off of liver transplant lists because hepatitis had eroded and destroyed their liver. And if they didn't get a liver, they were going to die. So Jesus said, I get it. And he gave them a liver. Today, I'm going to have you stand to your feet, and Jesus is going to come in redemption and in the power of his Spirit. If you're carrying anything in your body that has to do with your former life, if anything carried in to your life from that life and is trying to invade new life, that's not cool. And here's why. God will never judge you for where you've been because we're blameless and the blood speaks better things. So if God will never judge you for where you've been, why is where you've been still judging you? If old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. See, and I said, Lord, why do I have to make this a separate thing? Why does it just come under the parameter of healing? He said, well, it does, but people believe they earned it. They believe they brought it upon themselves. They believe they made their bed and have to sleep in it. Some people are taking extra responsibility. Oh, well, I'll just live with it. I knew I shouldn't have, and I did anyway. And God's saying, my mercy is greater. My mercy triumphs over judgment. My love covers a multitude of sin. So if you're in this room and you've hurt an organ, you've got something in your blood that ain't cool, you got a memory loss, concentration loss, you don't sleep right, you went out and binged one night and you know you haven't been the same since that night, or you had symptoms and you checked and they said, wow, you got this in your bloodstream, you go, oh no, and that thing caught up to you and tried to bite you for keeps, and you say, well, I made my bed and I sleep in it. No, Jesus made you a bed. And you're getting out of yours and you're getting into his. And I promise you the sheets are clean. I promise you the bed is good. Stand to your feet all over this place where you've touched, you've been touched by something, where you've been, you've done. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. It ain't nobody's business why you're standing. I could care less. What I care about is that you go free and that this thing leaves your life. Stand to your feet right where you are. Don't stay in your chair if it's you. Why would you miss this moment? When you stand to your feet, what you're saying is, you know what, God? This thing is not who I am. If I could go back, watch this. If I could go back and do some things different now that I know what I know and see what I see, my story would be changed. Who can say that that's standing? Who could say that, man, if I could go back and do some things over now that I get what I get, I would do some things differently than I did before? Who can agree with that that's standing? Yeah? So here's what I need you to do right now. Just believe right now and thank God that he absolutely loves you, that he forgives you of everything you've ever done, and that when he sees you right now, he sees you holy, blameless, and above reproach, because he sees you through his son. Believe that and thank him for that. And here's what I want you to believe before I pray. I want you to thank him that he'll never judge you for where you've been. That you officially, completely, and forever believe today he will only ever judge you for where Jesus has been. Would you believe that with me right now? Just say in your heart, thank you for loving me, Father. And thank you for forgiving me of everything. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. Father, I thank you for healing right now in every person's life that stood up. I thank you for the redemption of the cross, the blood of Jesus demanding redemption. Guys, redemption means brought back, bought back to original value. I thank you that blood is cleansed and purified in this room right now. I thank you, Father, that anything that came with former sins, anything that came with former conduct would be removed and washed away right now in the authority of Jesus' name. If you're sitting near somebody, just tap their wrist and get their hand and squeeze their hand and just say, be redeemed in Jesus' name. If you're sitting real close to somebody, if you're standing side by side and you're all standing together, just squeeze the hand beside you and just thank God for redemption in your lives. Just a little contact point of faith. Let love flow in this room as Holy Spirit does what he does. Father, I thank you blood tests will be different. I thank you blood tests will be different. Bodies will be changed. No STDs in Jesus' name. Not one trace of hepatitis remain. If there's HIV in this room, you leave the people now in the authority of Jesus' name. Father, if there were cutters, if people hurt their bodies, their flesh, I thank you for new flesh right now. I thank you for taking every mark and every scar, every burn mark off of the people. Father, as if we've never sinned, as if we've never been deceived, as if we've never not walked in the light. Let the glory of the finished work of Christ come upon the people right now, spirit, soul, and body, blameless till you come. In the authority of Jesus' name, be completely whole and be completely restored and completely healed. Please thank him again for loving you. Thank him again for loving you. Just believe right now that he loves you and that he forgave you of everything you've ever done. Just thank him right now. Just thank him right now for separating you forever from this thing you stood up for, okay? Would you do that? Would you just thank him right now for separating you forever from that thing you stood up for? Come on, believe him today. Say, thanks for making me free. Thanks for making me free. Thanks for changing me. In Jesus' holy name. Thank you, God. Who's closing this thing out? Somebody closing out? You want to close out? Who's closing out? I love you guys. Thanks for an amazing weekend here. You can have it. And thanks for standing and being humble, okay? Sit down in faith.